I thought I was going to get beat up. I was working in the wood shop of a boat factory, and I was cutting some plywood on a table saw, and as I'm pushing it through, I look up, and there on the steel beam in front of me is a naked centerfold that I hadn't seen before. And so as soon as I was done cutting that plywood, I went over, pulled that centerfold down, wadded it up, and threw it in the trash. Within a minute, I found out who put that centerfold up. And he was not happy. And I thought I was going to get beat up. He was talking about all kinds of things that he was going to do to me. And eventually, it took a while, but eventually the production manager became aware of the situation and talked to him and talked some sense into him and resolved the situation. So let me ask you a question. How do you respond when you're under attack? When somebody's out to get you, how do you respond? Are you passive-aggressive and you give in initially and then you wait for later and then you get revenge or you come back at them or you attack right away and you think they come at you with 8 energy and you come at them with 9 and then it goes to 10 and then you take it up to 12? How do you respond when you are attacked? Do you just give in and then make excuses later on? Well, I had to because I didn't want to do this and I didn't want to do that. And we are marked people. As followers of Jesus, we are one group of people in this culture that it's okay to attack. And so it happens. So what do we do when we're attacked? How do we respond? Remember, other people are not our enemies. Our enemy uses them to carry out his plan, but they're not our enemies. So what do we do? Ephesians 6:16, as we're working through this passage in Ephesians 6, it says this: in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Our enemy, the devil, wants to destroy us. But it's okay because we have protection, the shield of faith. And all we have to do is hold that up. Just hold up the shield. But often we don't know exactly how to respond when we're under attack. They say that you have to practice dialing 911. Have you ever heard this? You have to practice because when something's happening and you go like, oh, he's got a gun, he's going to do this, he's going to call 911. What? 911. And you don't, if you haven't done it before, they say it's difficult to do. So you have to practice what you're going to do in the future. Now, here's the crazy thing about the shield of faith. It's a shield of faith, which means it's invisible. I'm holding up my shield. And people go, at some shield. It's a shield of faith, and that's what we have. Because if it was a physical shield that you could see, you wouldn't need faith. It would be a shield of sight, not faith. So, what's the best way to learn how to hold up the shield of faith? For me, it's to see an example. There's stuff I'm trying to learn right now, and it's like, well, I want to see a video of how they did it. Oh, that's how you do it. Okay, yeah, now I can do it. So we're not going to watch a video, but we're going to take a look at an example out of the Old Testament this morning. So you can have some background. The Israelites have been in Egypt for 430 years to the very day They get out of Egypt because there are 10 plagues that God sends. And then Pharaoh said, okay, fine, I've had enough of you guys. You can leave. And so they leave. And then after they're leaving, that's the whole workforce. And Pharaoh reneges on his offer, and he starts chasing them. And we jump in Exodus 14, starting in verse 13. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Now, let me show you the situation they were in. Here's a map. Next slide. Yeah, there's the map. And so the Israelites, see where the Israelites' camp is. And there's mountains, and there's Pharaoh's army. And they're cut off. There is no place for them to go. They're between the rock and a hard place. There's no place to go. And God says, be still. Right? Why? Why did God say, be still? Imagine if you were in that situation. Everybody's going, what do you do? And they're running around and they're talking to each other. And they're freaking out. And they're panicking. And God says, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. You only need to be still. That's the shield of faith. You only need to be still. And it takes faith. So how do you, if it takes faith, then how do you grow your faith? You may say, well, my faith is only like that. If we're really honest, I don't really have much faith. That's okay. Notice what the apostle said to Jesus. Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. The apostle said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. Now, when you hear a question like that, you say, oh, good. Here's going to be A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? Now we're going to figure it out. But this is what Jesus said. The Lord answered, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the seed, and it would obey you. Next slide. Be planted in the sea. If you had, it's like that. The smallest seed that they were aware of at that time was the mustard seed. If you have just that much faith, you can say to that tree, go be planted in the sea. And so that's powerful faith, even for tiny faith. It's putting it into action. And so that's my prayer for us this morning, is that we would learn as individuals and as a body of believers, that we would learn this morning how to increase our faith. And I know some of the situations that some of you are going through. I don't know all what you're going through right now, but I just want to pause right here and ask you, are you going through something difficult? Do you need your faith increased? Would you say to Jesus what the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith? And you say this morning, I need my faith increased. Just raise your hand. I need my faith increased. Okay. Let's pray right now. Father, you saw these hands. Father, increase our faith. Help us to grow. I know we have a shield. But help us to walk and live and speak like we believe it. I want to live that way. We all want to live that way, Father. Increase our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back to Exodus 14, in verse 15. It said, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am. There's that word. Last couple of weeks, we've been running into that. I am. That's God's name. That I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. So the first thing, I increase my faith by taking action. I increase my faith by taking action. Next slide. And you may be saying, well, wait a minute. You just said be still. And now you say take action. Which is it? And the answer is yes. It's both. And it's an order. I start out by being still. I start out, when you're under attack, what is the first tendency? To run around like a chicken with your head cut off, right? And so God says, be still and know that I am God, okay? And then we increase our faith by taking action. God said, tell the Israelites to move on. In faith, get going. In faith, get going. Hebrews 11 is the great hall of faith. There are a list of faith heroes. And it's not a list that says what they thought about. It doesn't share their ideas. It doesn't share what they planned to do. It simply records what they did. It's what they did. By faith, they did this. By faith, he did that. By faith, he did this. By faith, they did stuff. It was action. So if you want to increase your faith, take a step. Take a step. But I don't know exactly what's going to happen after that. Doesn't matter. Take the next step. And then God says, raise your staff. What is that? What does that mean? Lift up what God has done in the past. That staff represented something. In Exodus chapter 4, Moses was doing this dangerous thing. He was arguing with the Lord God at the burning bush. And he was carrying just this regular staff. And God said, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, it's a staff. And God said, throw it down. So he threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake. And God said, pick it up. And he picked it up. And then when Moses went before Pharaoh, he took that with him and did the same thing as a sign to Pharaoh. That staff represented what God had done in the past. It was the staff of Moses, and then they began calling it the staff of God. Lift up, remember what God has done in the past. Give glory to God, the glory that he deserves. Lift up what he did. Remembering is a spiritual discipline. On the Sabbath day, one of the important things for Jews to do, a tradition they had, is to remember what God did the previous week. And that's a great thing to do. You know why? Because, you know, stuff happens and God does stuff. If we don't write it down, we're going to forget it. And you write it down, you'll remember it. I started something in January this year, and in 5 years, I'm really going to appreciate it. And it's a 5-year journal. And so on each page, you know, today will be September 22, and just to write a few things. I don't have to write all my feelings. Oh, I just feel like, no, it's just a few things. Hey, this happened today. And I can go back. And then next year on September 22nd, I'll write what happens then. And then, and I get to the end of 5 years, I can go back and go, oh yeah, that's when we were in this situation and God did that. Oh yeah. We tend to forget. And it's necessary for us to remember what God has done in the past and lift that up. And then God says, stretch out your hand over the sea. Faith means stretching. Faith means stretching. How do you need to stretch? Where do you need to stretch? In what part of your life do you need to stretch? Are you living in the comfort zone or are you heading for the end zone? Which one? It's very easy to set in the comfort zone. There's this mountain, and a lot of tourists like to climb all the way up the mountain. There's one problem. Halfway up the mountain is a lodge. Halfway up that mountain is a lodge, and people stop there to get a cup of hot chocolate on the way up the mountain. And quite a number of people end up spending a great quantity of time there, so much time that they can't get to the top of the mountain and back by the end of the day. And they're laughing and joking and carrying on until the people that made it to the summit are coming back. And then they're feeling, oh man, I should have gone. I should. What? They didn't keep stretching. And they settled for the comfort zone. I am a big fan of a guy named Jerry Seinfeld. I know he's not a follower of Jesus, but he's funny. And B, you can learn a lot from a guy like that. And here's one thing that Jerry said. See, comedians who work in nightclubs in New York, what they would do is they would be up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and then they'd sleep into noon, and then, you know, they'd get up and they'd hang out with other comedians, and then they'd look for a place to perform that night. But Jerry disciplined himself, and he would write. He'd get up before noon, and he would write and write and write and write. Because comedy is not about performance. Comedy is about the writing. And so he wrote, and here's his quote, find the torture you're comfortable with. I like that. Find the torture you're comfortable with. Discipline yourself. Force yourself to do something that's difficult. Faith means stretching. It means stretching. Exodus 14, verse 19. Then the angel of the Lord, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of the cloud moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so that neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all night long the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. So here's the second thing we see. When I increase my faith, God takes action. When I increase my faith, God takes action. God begins to do stuff when I take faith, when I increase my faith. It says, then the angel of the Lord, who'd been traveling in front of them, withdrew and went behind them. It is God who protects us. The Israelites could see the cloud, but we can't see this shield that's around us. But there is constant protection, and from time to time, we get to see this. Years ago, I was dealing with a person who was demonized. And the conversation happened on the phone, and I was unclear what was happening at first. And I began praying for this individual, and I prayed with him, and I mentioned the blood of Jesus. And at the moment I mentioned the blood of Jesus, this person screamed and threw the phone. And I was sitting at our kitchen table. I felt a force come at me. And it was like, have you ever been in the car wash and the water goes on and you kind of flinch because it's coming at you but it doesn't hit you? There was a force that came at me and came like 6 feet from me and stopped. And it was like, whoa. It was God. You don't always realize the protection that is around you, but God protects us. He is the one that protects us. And then it goes on, throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. It is God who guides us with light. God guides us with light. There's one thing God can't do. Did you know that? There's probably several things God can't do. God can't steer a parked car. Imagine your life is a vehicle. God cannot steer a parked car. There was a guy I knew who was a truck driver. And he was driving and he was dozing off. And finally, he pulled into a truck stop and he stopped and he put the emergency brakes on, but the engine was still running. And he just fell asleep, slumped over the steering wheel. While he was sleeping, another semi pulled in and parked right in front of him. He woke up and saw that semi right in front of him, that trailer right in front of him. He got up and he grabbed, adrenaline running through his veins, and he grabbed that steering wheel to swerve because he thought he was still driving and broke both of his arms. You can't steer a parked vehicle. God can't steer. Get going, and then you take that step of faith, and then God will guide you with his light. It's God who guides you. It said, the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and it turned it into dry land. It is God who makes a way where there is no way. What would the human solution be? Hey, Moses, we could make a bunch of boats. We could make some rafts. Hey, Moses, let's make some life preservers. And then we can float across on the sea. When we see what God did, all of those ideas seem so ridiculous. How much of the issue you are going through right now is because you're not still enough to allow God to do things His way? Exodus 14:23, the Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. When I increase my faith, God defeats the enemy. The Egyptians said, the Lord is fighting for them against Israel. Everyone see God's hands at work. Everyone sees God's hand at work. Next slide. Next. 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 There we go. Everyone sees God's hand at work. Your faith impacts people you don't even know. They see God at work. and they give God glory. Let me go back to the story I told at the very beginning when I worked in a wood shop and I tore down that centerfold. Later that guy, a guy who worked on the other end of the factory, Buford came to me and said, "Don't worry about him. He's just doing that because you're a Christian." Here's the thing. I never told Buford I was a Christian. I don't know if I ever had a conversation with Buford. He worked in a completely different department. But he saw what was going on. And God got glory from that situation because I stood up. Exodus 14, verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. God's shield collapses on the enemy. It's a shield of faith for the Israelites. And then verse 29, but the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord. And they put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Here's the bottom line. When we increase our faith, God increases our faith. When we increase our faith, God increases our faith. And I know that doesn't make sense at first. You say, wait, you're just saying the same thing twice. Here's what happens. When I take steps that increase my faith, when I take that step of faith, God shows up and God does something. And when I see God do that, it's like, whoa. Now I realize who God is. And my faith grows. And the more I take a step of faith, the more my faith grows. The more my faith grows, the more I see God do bigger and bigger things. And so God does those kind, and it's like a snowball going downhill. It just gathers up more and more snow. As we take steps of faith, our faith grows. And so that's why the most important step is which one? It's the next one. It's the next step. Take that next step. Say your next yes to God. Now, if you would go to our regional office, our denomination is divided up in region, and our regional office is in Elkhart. And if you went to our regional office, their Wi-Fi password at the regional office, see, now you're ahead of everybody else. The regional password, the Wi-Fi password at the regional office is Exodus 14:14. Now here's why that password is Exodus 14:14. There's a story. There's a couple of stories behind that. There was an employee that worked there. Her name was Kathy. And this is what she wrote. October 25th, 2013, Miracle Day. That's what we're calling today around my house. 1 year ago today, Jerry, her husband, had an emergency bypass surgery. The doctor told us that what he had was called the widowmaker. The main artery was 90% blocked. He would have had a heart attack, and if he had a heart attack, he would have died instantly. Even the doctor called it a miracle that we found it in time to repair it. Feeling very thankful today. God is so good all the time. Here's the deal. They didn't have health insurance. Jerry was self-employed, had his own business, and couldn't afford health insurance. So they were like, we can't pay for this surgery. And they said, we'll worry about that later. let's fix his heart. And so he had the surgery. And the next April, this happened. Kathy sent me this email. Last Thursday, Don called me and said the children's resale committee, they had a resale, children's resale at their church, had just met and determined the recipients of their tithe this year. We were chosen to be one of them for the amount of $750. I cried. After getting off the phone, I pulled out my orange binder of medical bills, and I looked at the bills with the lowest balance. The two lowest bills totaled $747. I cried. We were getting rid of two bills, which meant that freed up another $108 per month to put towards the others. Monday, we got a check for $120 in the mail from the South Bend Clinic. This is the doctor that did the heart cath. It stated that there was an overpayment because of our insurance. Well, I knew that was an error, so on Tuesday I called them and they said, yes, that was an error, just send the check back. So I did. On Wednesday, around 1:30, they called again. She asked if I had sent the check back and told her I did. She said the doctor had looked into our case and decided to forgive the balance of the bill. It was almost $3,000. I cried. On the phone, she also said they were going to send us the check back again. Around 4:15, I was telling Michelle, another coworker, about the $750 and the $3,000. And it was amazing that all that could happen within 1 week's time, freeing up a total of $158 a month to put towards the other bills. We had seven people total we were making payments to. I walked back into the office and said, now if I could just hear from the hospital. Got in my office and had an email from the financial counselor, Manny, asking me to call him. I yelled at Michelle and told her to pray. I knew this was going to be the answer we were waiting on. Manny was trying to get us a discount on the hospital and the surgeon's bill, and then work out a payment plan that was doable for us. It was a long shot. I picked up the phone, hands shaking, and called Manny. He said that he, his supervisor, and the VP of finance met that day and decided to discount our bill. By 100%. I sobbed on the phone with Manny, $103,000 forgiven. She says, it's okay, you can cry too. I know you already are. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Five out of seven bills wiped out in 7 days. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Where is your attack coming from? Pressure at work, relationship stress, misunderstandings, pressure from family situations, financial pressures. Those are tough issues. What do? You raise your shield. You raise your shield of faith. Even if your faith, if you say, honestly, my faith is only 1 on a scale of 1 to 10, okay. Even if your faith is only 0.1 on a scale of 1 to 10, okay. Even if your faith is even 0.00001, raise that shield. Even though that shield is only this big. Because why? What did Jesus say? If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Would you stand with me? You know I'm weird, right? You don't have to laugh so hard. So let's do something weird, if it's okay. Can we raise our shields as we pray? Let's raise our shields of faith as we pray. Father, I can't see my shield. And I feel a little silly holding my arm up like this. But this is my act of faith, saying, I believe you. We believe you. We trust you. You are our shield. You are our defender. We put our trust in you. Attacks are coming at us right and left. We need you. We're not smart enough. We're not fast enough. We need you. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in us and then through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.